Everyone. We do have visitors with us today, as have been mentioned, and we want to welcome you here again. I'm grateful that you have come our way and that you have chosen to, out of your busy schedules, to worship with us this morning. I look around the audience and I see those who I care deeply about, and I appreciate the concern that you all have expressed for me here lately. Not quite two weeks ago, I had elbow surgery. You can't tell it by looking at me, can you? Joe was right. It didn't affect my voice, and I've been able to do things that I didn't think I was going to be able to do. But I do want to thank Ron and Randy for filling in for me last Sunday morning. If I'd known now what I didn't know then, I should have probably taught last week. But it was one of those things that I just was uncertain. But I want to thank you for all the thoughts. Just about everybody's asked me about my elbow this morning. All I ask is you just don't come and hit me in the arm, and I'll be just fine. So, but it's one of those things. I will have one other thing that I want to mention at the end of services. So before Tyler leads his closing song this morning, I want to say a thank you then. At the end of services that I'm going to repeat from what I mentioned Wednesday evening for those that weren't here. I want you to, just a moment today, be thinking about this. We are in the last Sunday, just not of the month, but of the year. In the month of December, I usually try on Sunday mornings to do lessons about Jesus Christ. Other than the theme that I have for the year, the other Sundays are devoted to the topic of Jesus Christ. Now, you see the title on this screen, and it's probably flashing right now a little bit, but Jesus the Way. And if you think about it, I taught a lesson last December titled Jesus the Way. This is not the same lesson by any shape. It's just a title for the lesson. Last year, I did talk about John chapter 14 and verse 6 considerably in this. We're going to make reference to John chapter 14 and verse 6 in this. But I'm going to look at things a little bit differently, and we're going to talk about how Jesus is the way and the ways in which we can find Jesus. And I think that's going to be something that I think is going to be interesting to us. I mentioned at the beginning of this month that I had thought about teaching a lesson about titled Born to Die. And I think about that in many ways, it fits with this particular lesson. Why do I say that? Well, I say that because Jesus Christ is the central figure in all of Scripture. Beginning back in Genesis chapter 3, we start learning about Him coming into the world. In the Old Testament, He's prophesied about a birth in Bethlehem, a Savior that would come into the world, one who would suffer and die for mankind. And all of that then is fulfilled when we come to the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In our Sunday morning Bible study and Wednesday evening Bible study, we're studying the life of Christ in a chronological order. And we have seen and talked about the birth of Christ, which is only mentioned in two books of the New Testament, that is Matthew and Luke. But all four of them are going to talk about the reason He came into this world, and that was to die. And in His death, His burial, and His resurrection, He then provides for us access to the Father. And therefore, He is the way, the truth, and the life. We can dwell upon His birth if individuals want to do that. But the thing that we are really, that's the real emphasis of the New Testament is His death. We have to be thankful for the birth, because if He had not come into this world, He would not have died. If He had not died, we would not have forgiveness of sins. If we did not have forgiveness of sins, we would still be lost. Jesus Christ, then, is the way. And the Son of God became the Son of Man. And for what purpose? In order to make the sons of men the sons of God. He's done that. And He does that in that simple statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. And so I want you to consider those things and keep in mind, yes, Jesus Christ was born for a purpose. He was born to die. But unfortunately, we live in a confused world. I say we live in a confused world. We really do. A confused and troubled world. There's a lot of confusion in the world. Immorality, sin, you know, hatred, political turmoil, religious confusion. It surrounds us. You can add to that list if you want to. It doesn't matter what it is. But you think, and you could take into consideration about this. When I think about confusion and being troubled, I just mean in general, what has happened in this world today is we have turned it upside down, not as children of God, but the world has turned things upside down, because now what are they doing? They're calling evil good and good evil. So there is confusion in that realm right there. But if we live in that confused world, we need to understand there is a way out of life's confusion, out of life's problems. It's Jesus Christ. When he says, "I am the way," he's talking about a way out of all of that. A way to the Father, a way of escape from the world and the things that are in it. And so he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so for everything that is truly good, both in this life and especially in that life which is to come, we look to Jesus Christ as the way, don't we? I consider that, and I think about all of those things and consider Jesus as not just a way, but the only way. The life and teaching of Jesus, how important are they to us? Well, important enough that we're trying to study those in this chronological order on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And we're looking at those teachings, and those teachings are going to be the very things that are going to be set forth for us, even in the epistles of the apostles, that the apostles write. I know that those are the teachings and commandments of God. The Apostle Paul is going to say, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. And so I understand that these apostles, when they set forth this gospel message about Jesus Christ being the way, it is a message that we can even share with the world today. So it's important for us that we direct others, or if we haven't found the way itself, we need to find Jesus, the way. Because I believe that when you look at scriptures, following Jesus as the way requires some things of us. And in other words, it requires us being in his word. You know, it's interesting that how do we know about God? How would we know about God if he had not revealed himself to us? How do we know about the Son? The same way he revealed himself to us. Not only in the flesh, but in the Word. And when we open our Bibles to John chapter 14, and you read the first six verses, and you get excited about eternity because he promises it to those who are his. And he tries to tell them and says, you know the way. And then he's asked by one of his disciples, well, we don't know the way. Show us the way. What way? And he uses those words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's letting them know that there's only one way to the Father. Jesus Christ has described himself as the door of the sheep in John chapter 10. That's the door. That's the door in which we can have access to the Father. That is the way that we must go through to get to the Father. And I think about this and consider everything that he's done. And I think about the life and teachings of Jesus and where they appear and how that the fact he revealed it to us by the Holy Spirit. And when we open that holy script that we call our Bibles, and we start mining the treasures of truth that are found within its pages, we can find Jesus. You know, finding Jesus is important because there are people that are out there in the world searching for him. I believe that they are searching for him. Some are looking for him in the wrong place. Some think that they have found him. And Jesus is going to say to some of those people, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He's going to say to that to some individuals. let it not be us. If we have found Jesus, let's share Him. Let's share that way with others. John chapter 8 and verse 31, if you continue in My Word, how do you know that you're in the way? By continuing in this Word. Then you are My disciples indeed. John, in his first epistle, talks about walking in the light as He is in the light. As who is in the light? God is in the light. We walk with Him. We abide with Him. And we abide in His Word. So it's interesting, isn't it, that there are those in the world who are seeking Him, but they're not finding Him. But Jesus Christ promised, if you seek, you will find. And I believe that what that means is sometimes it's going to be someone like Cornelius who believed in God but did not know the way. Someone would have to be sent to him. Someone like the Ethiopian eunuch who is reading from the Scriptures and doesn't understand completely what needs to be done. But Philip comes to him and does what? He reveals to him the way. He preaches to him Christ. That's our responsibility today, to help others in finding the way. But what do we want to tell people about this Christ, about this way? Jesus Christ has made a promise to us that when we think about Jesus Christ, the way, He truly is the way to better living. He's the way to a better life. And I want you to consider that. Jesus stated a purpose in John chapter 10 in that discourse there about Him being the good shepherd, about Him being the door to the sheep. He will say in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That would not have happened if He had not been born to die. That abundant living is not talking necessarily about the things in this world. It's the things that will take place as we depart from this world and live eternally with the Father in heaven. That's where true abundant living. That's where when we will truly share in the joy of our Lord. And I want you to consider that for this. Jesus provides us better life. Why? By offering a solution out of the confusion, out of the troubles, out of the difficulties, out of the guilt, the self-pity and fear that this world can throw at us. See, He doesn't promise you wealth. He doesn't promise you to live in the lap of luxury. But He does assure us that we have a loving Father. He does assure us that Father cares for us. And I look at Ephesians chapter 1, and I see there that we have been adopted as sons. I see that God planned that from the foundation of the world. He wanted us to have a better life as His children. And so in Matthew chapter 6, you think about those words there in verses 31 through 33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we wear? Because that's one of the things that consumes us in this life, isn't it? But you go reading a little bit further, it says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And if He cares enough to provide you with the material things, He also cares enough to provide you those spiritual things. And you are encouraged then, in that Sermon on the Mount, to seek first the kingdom of God, the better way. And so Jesus Christ provides that better life by offering a better solution. Not only do you see that in this, then you think about it. The happiest people in the world are those who have completely devoted themselves, given themselves to following Jesus the way. They are the ones who truly have joy in life First Peter chapter 1 and verse 8 says, though now you do not see him. And thinking about his reader right there as he's writing this epistle and the Christians that he's writing to, they are not seeing Christ right now. They are not. He's not in front of them. And even for us today, when we read a verse like that, we fit into that same category. We do not see Jesus, but we can find him in the way. Yet, believing, what happens? You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There are a lot of individuals that are suffering in this world today. They do not have hope because they are not in the way. They have not found the way. They do not have joy because of a better life, because they do not have the hope of eternity in their hearts. And those that have found the Savior, those who want to be in the way and have access to the Father, they will have this joy unspeakable. Have you ever had anybody just simply ask you why you were smiling? Why you were happy today? I've asked that of some people before, and you know what? An answer that was given to me that kind of shocked me because I didn't expect it from this individual. They simply said, I'm just blessed. I'm just truly blessed to be a child of God. Wonderful. I never thought that someone would just answer like that, why are you happy today? Because that should be the reason for our joy in this life. It should be the motivating joy in our lives. And I think about living with Jesus Christ in my life and understanding that what he has done, providing this way access to the Father, providing the way, him being the way. There are some things that have come about this that make us truly blessed. Because if you find Jesus the way, then what you find is that you have a way to forgiveness of sins. Something that all men everywhere are guilty of. We are all guilty of sin. At breakfast yesterday morning, Randy Cavender, who's preaching in Bend today, asked me what I was preaching on today. Before I ever got anything out, Ron said, sin, he's going to decide whether he's for it or against it. Well, here's the thing. Every one of us have been for it for a while. But if we have found Jesus in the way, we're now against it. But we couldn't be against it. We couldn't have forgiveness of sins without him being born to die. And I think about that. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. See, we often describe sin because in the Greek language, when we think about the word sin, it's generally given the first definition, whatever Greek lexicon you're in, something like this, missing the mark. Well, I want to suggest something to us. Even though that is correct, I don't think it is completely correct. Because sin is more than just missing the mark. It is a violation of God's will. It is us completely stepping away from the commands of God and doing what we want to do. It's not being in the way. What Jesus has done when he says, I am the way, it means he has provided forgiveness of sin through his blood. That gives us access to the Father. We can come to the Father through him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He was born to die. And so after his sacrifice, Jesus explained how those who are lost in sin can actually have remission of sin. You know, in Acts chapter 2, that's the thing that the Apostle Peter told those who he had preached to, who had been pricked in their hearts, what they needed to do to be saved. He told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, didn't he? But Jesus Christ had said some things about this along the way. But he explained how those who are lost in sin can have remission of sin this way. Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said that at the end of Luke. That would have been toward the first chapter of the book of Acts before he ascends into heaven. But he also said it a different way in Mark chapter 16. He said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." It wasn't Peter that thought this up on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't Ananias coming to Paul and telling him to be baptized simply because you need to get wet. It wasn't the Ethiopian eunuch requesting baptism because there's water here, let's just go down in it and cool off for the day. There was a purpose behind it. Jesus is the way to forgiveness of sins. Not only then is he the way to forgiveness of sins, then as the text tells us, he's the way to God. When we have forgiveness of sins, we are reconciled to God. There's our access. It's important to it to us to understand that, because lots of people need more than forgiveness of sins. They need to be restored to that close union that they have with God, which they lost because of their sins. And that's reconciliation. And so, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, God was in Christ doing what? Reconciling the world unto himself. That's what he was doing. And it's important for us to be able to understand that and to appreciate that, because Jesus stated that no one can reach God without him. What did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's also, remember I talked about all the confusion at the beginning? He's also the way out of religious confusion. Because you think about the world, is the world not confused when it comes to religion? Oh, absolutely. Open your Fort Smith yellow pages and go back to where it says churches and count how many different ones there are and how many different belief systems are in and among that. There is religious confusion. And there are people who wish to follow Jesus, but they are just that. They are simply confused by all the churches, by the multitude of churches in the world today, and by all the conflicting doctrines that are being taught by people who profess to be Christians. But Jesus Christ is the way out of that confusion by adhering to his word, by looking at him, because it is Jesus Christ who said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 that I will build my church. The church is not the name on the building. I know this says Park Hill Church of Christ on our sign and our building, but that's not what makes us his church. What makes us his church is him having laid the foundation of his life and us building properly upon it. What makes us his church is truly being his people and following his will. If you do my commandments, you are my disciples. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And it's an understanding that when we do those things, that we can come out of this religious confusion. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, after that day of Pentecost, on that day of Pentecost, there was only one church being formed. The one that Jesus Christ promised to build in Matthew 16. And what we find out after that day, in verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And we know that the church is made up of people. It's not buildings. It's not signs. It's people who desire to be His disciples. Well, the Apostle Paul said it this way. There is one body and one spirit. Just as you are called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all. One body. That was Jesus Christ's intent all along. He prayed for unity in John chapter 17 among His people. He did not pray for division. We need to be united. If we are saved, we are in His church, and we are united with all others who are saved. And brethren, it's good to worship and work with other saved individuals. I really love being a part of this congregation. Worshiping with those who are of like precious faith. Because we are joined, we're knit together into one body. We're trying not to look at things as the world looks at it religiously. We're trying to look at things as the way Jesus Christ describes it for us in the New Testament. The way the apostles set it forth in the New Testament. And we cannot accept any other doctrine. We cannot accept any other Lord. We must adhere to the faith that we have in Scripture. Excuse me. And we must be unified. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17. I said Jesus prayed for it. I want you to read it. Jesus prayed for this unity. Because as He was getting, as He was preparing to go to the cross, to be buried, to be raised again the third day, and then go back to return to the Father, He was trying to prepare His disciples. But He was also praying to the Father and grateful that they were one. And He wanted His disciples to be one. But He also didn't just pray for His disciples alone, did He? Verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they all may be one. As You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. Jesus Christ is the way out of religious confusion. And the greatest reward of all, He's the way to heaven. When we go through that door to the Father, we have access to eternity, to an eternal home. And yes, it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. But what is important about that? Death comes to all men. Well, then that means that we need to make sure that if we do die, that we die in the Lord. Die in the way. Because that's the salvation of our soul depends upon that. David Bushnock is not here this morning. I'm assuming he's having to work. But Wednesday evening he offered an invitation that came out of Revelation chapter 22. And he read verse 14. And I want to read it to you one last time. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Access to that city is through the way, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way to live eternally with God and with the Son without going through Him to the Father. Take out your songbooks. If you are not in the way, if you have not found the way, we can help you find it. Jesus Christ has said He is the way, and we can show you through Scriptures how to find Him. But if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you need to act in that faith. You need to repent of your sins, confess Him before men, and be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins. You see what happens? The blood that He shed for remission of sins, we have access to that through baptism. Buried dead to sin, to rise and walk in newness of life. And when we come up out of that watery grave as a new creature in Christ, then you have to stay on that path, stay in the way, until the time we can meet our God and our Savior face to face. If you have a desire to become a child of God this morning, we stand ready to assist you. If you've strayed from the way in any way in your life, reconcile your life to God today. Confess your sin to Him. If, as an unfaithful child of God, confess your sin to Him. He's faithful and just to forgive that unrighteousness. And get back in the way. Because without Jesus Christ, there's no other way to the Father. Do you want to live eternally with the Father? Then won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.